There will be a slide coming. I promise. And if not, we can blame my brother, because Ben's back there right now. There we go. So today I'll be talking about God's will for our lives, and if you're kind of concerned that this little teenage girl's up here talking about that, I understand this is a huge topic, but I found a verse that I think really explains it for us. So you might be asking, who even am I? My name is Brianna Stace. I've been going here to Christ Community Church for as long as I can remember. My parents are right there, Tim and Jenny Stace. So I've really just loved my experience here in Waseca, and I really am looking forward to sharing this message with you guys today. But do understand, I am like 50% nerves and like 50% excitement right now. So I'll be talking about 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. It says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So that first verse, "always be joyful," actually was my favorite verse for a really long time. And it wasn't because it really stood out to me that much. It was because I had this Caterpillar Bible growing up, and I had this list of verses to memorize. And when I got to it, I'm like, a verse with three words. I can finally do this. So I've always said that this is my favorite verse. And it's fun anyway, since it's be happy. But I really started to dive into that this week when I was asked to give a message. And it's not saying, oh, let's have happy lives, because that's not how this world's always going to work. It says always be joyful. And it's not saying that in let's be happy. It's a command. Always be joyful. So you guys with kids might know this. This is the movie Inside Out, and it talks all about our emotions, especially going through the life of a young girl. And when I was reading this verse, I always think of, don't be sad. But that's not always it. Sometimes we're disgusted, we are scared, we are angry, and that needs to be when we're joyful just as much. I hope you guys can see that all right. That says how much time we have, and it's kind of amazing. If we have 78 years to live, we spend about 23 years of it sleeping, 28 years of it sleeping. So let's just pretend that that's all happy, because sleeping is great. We have 4 years eating and drinking. I like food. We're going to say that's happy. But now let's focus on those other years, those 10 and a half years of working. Are we going to our jobs and being angry, being not joyful with what we are doing? Now it says 9 years on TV, video games, and social networks. While we might say that going through social media is fun, it has been shown to cause depression for many people. So we need to remember that we should not be envious when we are seeing things. We need to do everything with joy. Verse 17 says, never stop praying. So this previous verse we said, always be joyful, and here we say never. But really it says never stop. So I interpreted this as always pray. Now this can be hard because we know we have so many things going on in our lives that we're not always thinking, let's have a conversation with God. But I think that's something that we can always work on, and that's going to help us be always joyful. And verse 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Again, this is an always statement. Always be thankful. Now that goes back to being joyful, because when we are happy with what God has given us, we can be thankful. But that second half of the verse says, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I am a senior this year. I am going off to college, and I have been questioning a lot of what is God's will for me? Where's my life going to take me? But I think this verse lays it out really simply, that this is God's will for us who belong to Christ Jesus. So no matter what our emotions are at the time or how we are spending our time, the application is understanding God's will doesn't mean that we know what the future holds. It means that we know how to respond to the future. And with whatever life comes at, we need to be joyful, live with prayer, and be thankful. Thank you.
Good morning. I bet you thought that was going to be a really quick service, but ha, I'm here. So my name is Kelsey Kubal. I am a junior at Waterville Elysian Morristown. And I am really excited to be able to be up here with you guys this morning because I love Youth Sunday. And I'm really, really thankful for this church and how supportive they are of our youth. And they don't just shove us upstairs and say, go away, you're scary. Well, hello, we're scary and we're here to overthrow the service. So Brianna did a wonderful job talking about our future and what God wants for our lives and how we should be living our lives. And I hope you're all really pumped up after that and ready to go home and live that way forever. But as if most of us know, we're probably not going to go home tonight and never be angry or selfish or feel lonely ever again, because life is hard, faith is hard, and if we expect to be perfect right away, we're just going to disappoint ourselves and maybe in turn wrongfully feel like God has disappointed us. There are probably a million self-help books, commentaries, and Bible studies that could tell you how to live out your faith in the moment and be constantly joyful and thankful and prayerful. But I have not been to seminary. I don't know big Greek words, and I don't really get theology that much yet. So don't worry, I'm not going to try, and if I did, I'm sure I'd get taken to the side after the service by Chris or Rick and say, that was very wrong. So I think that Christ made the Bible and had people pen it for us so it could be attainable for each and every one of us, not just people who have been to years of seminary, which is a good thing. And the easiest way to learn on our own is to really get to the base of who we are in our faith and our Christianity, and let the walls fall down, let all the opinions and the thoughts that are spoken at us all day, and just focus on who we are. And I want to make it clear that I'm not saying to give up on theology or knowledge. Discussions and opinions can really help grow our understanding, and they're very important. I'm simply saying that we can stop, and for now, let that fall away so we can look at our faith and how to grow it right now and here today. So one way to do that is, simply simplifying. Jesus is our heart and our example. He came for each and every one of us. And he says, because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We're not running, chasing after him, hoping that maybe we'll be good enough. He is in us. We're not just trying to be with him. He is here, and he came to be in relationship with us. And he's not going to run way ahead and say, hey, I'm over here, and you're back there. You should be over here. He's going to meet you where you're at, and he's going to say, we're going to go through this together. Jesus' love is one of the biggest parts of his message and his ministry. Like, he came to bring in this new age where we don't have to go through sacrifices and priests to just know him and speak to him. He is right here, right now. And he is here to love us. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. Now you can rejoice in those words no matter the day you've had. You can rejoice in knowing that that never changes. That never changes no matter what's happening. I had a flat tire this morning, and that went very wrong. And I was definitely not prayerful or thankful or joyful in the moment. But, except maybe I was praying that I could get here on time. But those words never change. We're not looking into the future saying, one day I'm going to die. One day this is all going to be over, so I just got to make it through. No, he's saying you already were dead. Now you are alive. We were dead in our trespasses. All we have to look forward to is life. There's no death to fear. It's his love and his life, because he has came to say, by my grace you have been saved, because I love you. You might say, you don't know what I've done in my life or how I've lived. I understand these words and I want them in my life, but I can't and I don't know how. Because everyone has screwed up and everyone has failed, and it can be really hard to identify with these words. And one way that I like to read verses when I'm feeling down or when I feel like I don't really have this in me is I claim them. I claim them as mine. And I read it as, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved me, even when I was dead in my trespasses, made me alive together with Christ. By grace, I have been saved. Not just everyone else, but me. We all have been saved. And if that is still really hard for you, don't expect to be perfect tomorrow. Say, God, help me love you more tomorrow. Help me love you more tomorrow and the next day, because he is here to help you grow. And we have this incredible God-given love, and he has given it to us to use. He hasn't given it to us just for ourselves, and we're not going to lose any by pouring it out on others. It's only going to spread, and it's only going to get better. We need to live out a love through faith, not by hovering in our circles and hiding beneath the steeple. Take that incredible God-given love and live it out. Because how many times does God say in the Bible, love one another? See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So it doesn't know us, and it does not know him. So staying where we're comfortable it's not the world, and it's not going to get any better out in the world by saying everything's wrong with you, but by going out and living out this love that we have, because we have been so blessed to have it in us and with us, and if we don't use it, there's no reason to have it. He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love another by this. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He didn't say a suggestion, he said a command. And we may not feel qualified to do this. We may not feel like, you might not be a good speaker, but that might not be what God has called you to do, to love one another. Or you might be angry at this person saying, you saw what she did to me because she was really mean and I don't like that. No, he has called you to love and commanded you to love. And he has given us that so that we can love others, and then we will be his disciples. He's called each and every one of us to be a disciple. And if we don't feel qualified, if we don't feel equipped, and if we don't feel prepared, don't be afraid, because he has equipped us. He says, you're equipped with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Christ Jesus, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You don't need to feel prepared. You don't need to feel equipped, because if he has called you to do something, he has equipped you, and he has prepared you. When I went to Chicago a few years ago on a missions trip, we went to a homeless shelter, and we were just going to talk to homeless people who were sitting on the streets outside of a shelter. And even to some of you right now, that sounds kind of scary, and you're wondering what Rick has been sending his students to do. Don't worry, it was pretty much safe. And we were in groups. But I was so terrified, because these people, they're so different from me. That's what I was thinking. I was like, how am I supposed to relate? How am I supposed to talk to them? Because, well, I don't even get them. Well, I did it anyway, no matter how uncomfortable I was. I went and I connected. And I realized that these people, they are just like me. They have been dead in their trespasses. They might still be. But you can talk to them and you can be with someone who you don't even understand. And you can still connect. And some of the moments where you feel closest to God is when you humble yourself the most and go out of your comfort zone. I've never felt more close and felt God more closely with me than when I have gone out and done what he said and got over myself and what I'm comfortable with. He's saying that you can do this even if you do feel unprepared, because he has prepared you. We can let these words manifest in our lives, because these things are hard to do. This is a really hard lesson to really, really live out. But he says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God, his only Son, sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I believe this verse sums up a lot of what I've been saying. It's that he gave us this love, but he didn't just give us this love for ourselves. He wants to say, I love you, and I have made this love manifest among you. But you need to take that love, and you need to love one another. We can pour out all the love we want, but if we don't take down the walls or the barriers, that love is never going to spread further than the people who agree with you, and those walls can be within us. If we look at Christianity almost as a religion that must stay within these walls and these borders, and if we take them down and say, you can come in and I can love you. I don't have to accept your choices, but I can still love you. Be prepared to love people who are different from you. And this might be hard to do, because it is. But he says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Say to God, help me love you more tomorrow. Help me be more prayerful tomorrow. Help me be more joyful tomorrow. Help me be more thankful tomorrow. How can I live for you tomorrow? It's not approaching the future saying, I need to do all this by the year 2050. It's saying, I want to be better tomorrow. And he will give it to you in his name, because that is something that honors him. And if you come to him humbly and rejoice in all that he can give you. And I know this message may seem simple, and I'm sure you've heard it multiple times over. But I ask you not to let these words glaze over you. Not just to say, yeah, I've heard that. I'm loved, and I should love other people, whatever. No, this is something that we can overlook so easily, especially right now when there's all this information right here where we can form opinions and thoughts and we can build walls so easily. If we take that down and just look at who Jesus was and what he did for us and what he has called us to do simply, we can live the life that he has designed for us. Thank you.